And ready? Record.
Right.
Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all. Best caroling song.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
Happy 200th episode, Mark.
Wow. Happy 200th episode,
Hal. We've done 200 of these things.
Holy moly. 200 hours of us talking.
Yes. If only it were just 200 hours. But it's so much more.
But for our 200th episode, we should really do something special.
It's three things today.
Okay.
200th episode. Check. Mm-hmm. Christmas.
That's right.
Check. And the finale of Wort Juice December. Also check. That is a thing.
That's a thing.
You're looking at us very confused, but you accept it.
Okay. Was it the word choice? Like, we could have come up with, like, Rocktober, yeah. Like our version
that's
of something
really bad.
Like
that. It was just a term that I'd never heard before.
That's fair.
That I was forced to make sense of. And guess what? I got there.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the voice of Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah! Pew, 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 pew.
Who has just ruined his own home by shooting guns into the air.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Look, that was his mouth.
I love guns and I love my mouth. And I shoot them both off frequently.
No. We are here today to talk about the topic is best caroling song. Mm, yeah. Now, this is a very specific thing.
That's right.
This is the best. This is not the best Christmas song.
No. Which I already know what that is.
Which is?
My personal pick?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Holy Night.
Oh, okay.
On this list. A wonderful song.
It could be a double win for you then.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything.
It's a difficult song to sing. We'll get there.
Well, yeah. We'll get there.
It's not the best Christmas song. And there are songs that I've left off this list. So, I was searching today,
Creep by Radiohead.
Did not make the cut.
Odd.
All of Weird Al because it was already other songs that's before. Right. Did not make the cut.
The Alphabet.
Yeah.
Not on here.
Achy Breaky Heart. Barely.
No, that's on here.
Barely didn't make it. Oh, there it is.
It barely didn't make it.
Yeah. Barely.
That's what they told me about college. You barely didn't make it.
Did you go to, you went to college?
I did go.
Did you graduate?
I did.
Do you have a degree?
I do.
Holy moly.
I have a college degree.
Do you, Hal?
I do.
I'm a big college dropout, guys.
I know from your stand-up.
Yeah.
I've heard these stories.
I don't have a mortarboard or anything.
You can just get a mortarboard.
They won't let me.
Well, you're not allowed.
They have to see my diploma.
They have your picture up on the wall if you try to go in there. No checks.
Do not give
no
mortarboard to this man.
What do you think Mark's major was? What do you think Mark has a degree in? What do you think I have a degree in? Just curious.
Oh. Yours has to be theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has to be.
It has to be. I've been a theater nerd since I was 5.
Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I want to say yours is a weird thing like marketing.
How do you know that? Have you
a weird thing like marketing?
Isn't marketing weird?
It is marketing. It is very weird.
Thank you.
It means nothing.
Thank you.
That's incredible.
I pieced it together from context clues from knowing you so long.
That's true. We have known each other a very long time.
I don't think we've ever come right out and talked about our college careers.
Seems odd that we've glossed over that after all this time.
That's right.
And now we're here to get into it. Forget Christmas carols.
Yeah. We're
going to talk about best college majors.
Yeah.
Best college majors.
Yeah.
Communications. Number one with a bullet.
Liberal arts.
How many of the Wort Juice players do you think we have more college graduates than not? I think that we do.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Craig for sure.
Craig for sure.
Jackson for sure.
Calvin College.
Yes. The well-known Calvin College.
Busy? I just read her book. I think she graduated college.
I read her book, and I don't know if she went. But, she went to Loyola, right?
Yeah, because it's – was it Loyola? It was weird because
LMU.
She started working at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. She went to school in Playa del Rey in Westchester.
But I believe that she finished,
Yeah.
Autumn Reeser?
Yes.
Yes. Molina. Yes. UCLA, Molina, I think. Molina, yes. Yeah. He went to Yale.
That's right. Drama school.
He's a Yaley.
Fancy pants. Did you call it drama school? Have you been hanging around Canadians?
That's fun. I have been hanging around Canadians. Pinata.
Yeah. Go out for pasta.
I think, is it just me and Padgett? Me and Padgett are the only dropouts?
You guys are, you guys are great. I've never held it over you that you two are not college graduates, Paul, if that's what
it
you were
really
worried
does
about.
Seem like you're trying to reassure me.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
Well, how many of the work juice players went to college? Did you guys go to college? I'm not obsessed about this college thing.
You know, it's funny. I don't think about it that much, but then it's sometimes strange to me to think about people that I know now that I didn't know then. Mm-hmm. Like imagining them, imagining us at that age is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is.
Like going to college and all the college things that go with that. Cause I was there for
all the terrible choices.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was there for a very brief period.
What school were you at?
Temple University.
Temple University. Mm-hmm.
Temple owls are everywhere.
Was that how they did the morning announcements?
That's the morning announcements.
Are you sure you didn't just go to a second high school?
They might have just gone to a second school.
Attention, college students. They don't do that. That doesn't happen.
Look, my entire school was in one converted elementary school. So, the theater school was an old beat up, Catholic elementary school in the middle of Chicago.
What school was this?
This was DePaul, the theater school at DePaul University.
Really?
And after I graduated, they built a giant new theater arts center.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's nice.
Oh, it's lovely. My tuition money paid for it.
And you never got to, you didn't even get a taste of that. Yeah.
you didn't get to wet your beak.
Yeah. You wet your beak in that college theater.
You know what? You're right, guys. I'm going to go back. Be like, put me in Noises Off right now.
Was that a show that you did?
Of course it was. The official play of college.
Is it?
Noises Off. Noises Off and Antigone for the Smarty Pants.
Oh, yeah.
They all do Antigone.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The official play of college.
But we're not here to talk about official plays of college.
We just did.
We're done with that. Yeah. We're here to talk about the best caroling song. So I poured over this as many different aggregators of Christmas lists of songs that I could find today. Mm. And the ones I found are specifically caroling songs. And the criteria that I used for this was songs that are designed to be sung by a group of people of all ages. Mm-hmm. So not a classroom of kids, or one person making a recording. Like some of the greatest Christmas songs of all time are not on this list. White Christmas is not on this list.
All I Want for Christmas is You, Mariah.
All I Want for Christmas is You, Mariah Carey, or the new Ingrid.
The Christmas alphabet.
The Christmas alphabet.
Dominic the Donkey.
Right.
Did Dominic not make the cut.
Dominic, you know what? I'm putting Dominic the Donkey on there just for my Italian brothers and sisters.
Sure.
That's a good doc. Way. What's that one? Happy holidays.
Yeah. Don't forget to hang up your sock, because just exactly at 12 o'clock, he'll be coming down the chimney
down. That's a weird song.
Yeah.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
Yeah.
It's a weird song. Did they say Hickory Dock?
They do. Thing? And they're like, soup da do. It was definitely written by somebody who always has a cigarette between their pointer and middle finger.
Do you think some placeholder lyrics got in there in the final draft?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of scatting.
I was supposed to. I shouldn't have set that off yet. Silence for the cuckoo.
Ooh, there's a cuckoo.
Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock.
That's right.
I was hoping that would go off.
Recording. And, it's really just about halfway through the cuckoo. And he's letting you know that it is 9 o'clock.
He does it nine times.
He will chirp for each hour.
Ooh.
That is represented by the hands of the clock. So 9 p.m. it is. Thank you, cuckoo. We'll see you again at 10.
I think he's always watching. He doesn't go behind doors.
No, he doesn't go behind doors.
Yeah, it is a little jarring that the cookie. Yeah, there's no doors. It's the hole on the bird feeder outside.
That's right.
Peeking
in case
out.
Of emergencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's always vigilant.
Sure.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Cuckoo.
Thank you for your service, Cuckoo. His name is Cuckoo. For right now, sure. Let's say yes.
We never learned his name.
Oh,
no.
So did you ever try to, like, you know, figure it out? Do you just call him Chief?
Yeah, I would like introduce my wife. Like, Cuckoo, this is my wife, Janie.
Yep.
And then, you know, he would just say hi.
Oh,
or no. Cuckoo.
Right.
Depending on what the hour was.
Yeah,
sure.
If it was 2 o'clock, he'd say Cuckoo, Cuckoo.
That's right.
Right. But you introduced her at one.
Yeah, that was my big mistake.
Well, sure.
What is legitimately the longest you've gone without addressing somebody by their name because you either forgot it or you're not sure how to be addressed.
Years and years.
There are people absolutely that I will see again soon whose names I do not know.
It's Mark and Hal, for the record.
Yes. And I know which is which.
So does that seem like a fair way to look at these songs?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So there are a lot of them on here that we have a list in front of us. We have a list that is in alphabetical order, but it might behoove us to bounce around that some and
see how the behooves go.
All right. Yeah.
What are we looking for here? Is it a song that I was thinking about this a little bit. I feel like a good Christmas caroling song is one that works if everybody sings the melody together, but also works really well with harmonies.
Well, here's the thing. Do we want to include is the idea songs that people with varying degrees of musical talent can sing together?
I think 100% yes.
Yeah.
So this is like anyone can get together in a group of carolers, show up at a door.
Right.
Bing bong, your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Maybe you thought you were getting a delivery.
No. We're just going to sing at you.
It's the opposite of you getting to open a box. It's us. You don't know if you're supposed to give us money. You don't know what's supposed to happen now.
Did you ever go, when you were growing up in Mount Airy?
Yes.
Pennsylvania.
That's right.
The Philadelphia neighborhood.
That's right.
Just to give everybody context. Were there a lot of carolers in the neighborhood? Or did you go caroling?
No.
Not in that.
No. I feel like in high school it was a thing because I was in the drama club and I feel like there might have been a group that was going to do it. But stuff like that, from a performer perspective, and I think you guys will be able to relate to this. There are some things that you have no problem being on stage, people looking at you, whatever. Then there's other things that are the same, technically the same type of thing, but you feel embarrassed to do.
Yeah.
Like anytime you have to give a speech, like if you have to give a speech at a wedding or something like that, it's a totally different kind of attention that is, it makes me feel like a small child. And Christmas caroling is a thing like that of like having to, you know, be there, you're holding music or whatever and you're singing. I don't know. There's something about it that feels very naked and unguarded to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is part of it that you can think of an audience as one monolith? It is an audience.
Yeah.
As opposed to this is my neighbor, Jim.
Yeah.
This is, yeah.
So much of it is lighting. Like, you know, being on a stage in front of a sea of dimly lit faces is like you're not really focusing. I mean, you can – You will see somebody sometimes and you'll kind of like you have to look away because you don't want to be, you know, transfixed by a certain person because they're wiggling their foot or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to look out at sort of the middle distance of a crowd, you know, where you're seeing over the heads of the people in the front and just into that sweet, like twilight mass is the best.
Yeah.
But to be on someone's doorstep and they're standing there and they're
with
looking
with their kids
at you,
standing next to them going, how long do we have to stand here?
I also feel like, okay, full disclosure, guys. I just came from the Tam O'Shanter.
Sure.
This is a restaurant here.
A delicious restaurant.
In Los Angeles, in the neighborhood nearby. At Christmas time, they have Dickensian carolers going from table to table and they take your requests and then they sing a song at you. And it's four people.
Wow.
That are singing and looking at you and making eye contact. And I can't look at them.
Yeah.
And I can't look at them.
Full costume.
They're in full costume.
Yeah.
They're in full costume.
So is
and
this.
They have their patter and stuff like that, you know.
Is this a trigger topic based on the hour that you had?
I have such a weird relationship with it because I like that it exists. I like it when they're singing at other tables.
Yeah.
There is something about the closeness and I don't know where I'm supposed to look.
Yeah.
I can't just look at them while they're singing.
Well,
it feels too intimate.
Yeah.
For a performer, the anonymity of an audience is nice.
Yeah.
But also for an audience member, the anonymity of an audience
is nice. That's exactly right.
Yes.
When you go to a place where there's too much light on the audience, it's the worst because you feel in the audience, you feel exposed. And that's part of the deal is that the lights go down. You're this anonymous person in there. You're there to be entertained. The person on stage is not trying to entertain you specifically.
Right.
You know, it's a nice arrangement. And so that kind of thing in a brightly lit restaurant where there's four people that are singing and they're looking at each other and they're harmonizing, but then they're also looking at you. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Right.
I do it every year, by the way. I go there every year, multiple times
right.
over the course of this month.
Because you feel like they have an expectation of what you're supposed to do also. Mm-hmm. Like there's a rule of engagement there that you're okay. You're singing to me.
Yeah.
There are three or four of us at this table.
Yeah.
I don't want to – like, am I supposed to clap for you? Am I supposed to nod
We do clap
smile?
At the end. Here's what I do. This is my MO is I sort of look down and I nod in time to the music and I have a smile on my face. And then I express my enthusiastic enjoyment of it once the song is over.
That's great.
Right?
Yeah.
That's and that is more comfortable for the performers as well.
Yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah. As a guy who worked – at Disneyland for a long time,
yeah.
performing at people in broad daylight.
Who weren't expecting it.
Who were not expecting it frequently.
Who's this guy now?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. He's the mayor of something.
He's not from a movie.
Yeah. yeah. So I can appreciate a person who's like, yep, I'm just going to – I don't need to be involved. I just want to lay back and anonymously watch the show.
Yeah. And I also just want to listen, you know, to the mm-hmm. – because especially when – of course they're doing harmonies and mm-hmm. – you know, when that's happening, it's pleasurable to listen to the blend of voices rather than look at them. Cause they're going all out, guys. They're like the faces and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're selling it, you know, and they're in the whole get up and everything. Like you have to.
Oh. It also is a weird job.
Yeah.
That's a weird job. It's a weird seasonal job. I think I would feel partially. And this is me entirely go, you don't really want to be here. You're having to put too much energy to get something out of me you will never get. I can't give you like the – this is – I'm going to sing along and I'm looking at you. I would be the same. I would sort of look away and
I disagree.
And be appreciative.
I'll tell you – go ahead. Sorry.
I think they totally want to be there.
Absolutely.
So? Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Knowing the backstage things that I know from working at Disney and Universal, that pool of singer performers – every year and roughly October, they all staff up with carol companies because it's great money.
Maybe you can settle an mm-hmm. argument for me because
please.
My dinner companion and I were wondering because he saw a group. There's a couple groups at the TAM each night
mm-hmm.
that are doing – they're working at the same time because it's a big restaurant, so they're covering mm-hmm. various rooms. And I think like at the height of when it's really busy, like tonight was packed, and I think they might have two or three groups working at the same time mm-hmm. in various rooms. So my friend saw one of the groups of four arrive. They all got out of a van together, and they mm-hmm. were all already in costume getting to the Tam O'Shanter.
Mm-hmm.
I think they own their stuff, and they don't just like rent it each year. Because they definitely do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if you're a musician and you play like live gigs, you have a tux because you might
right.
end up having to do like a, you know,
formal thing.
Sure.
And so you're not going to rent a tux every time. You're just going to have it in your closet. If these guys know they are doing this every year
mm-hmm.
and they are doing it every year.
Sure.
They're like, well, I'm going to buy a hat that fits rather than have to rent one every time. You know what I mean? I'm going to get my own top hat, my own, you know, crazy gown or whatever.
You invest. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any insight into that, Mark?
I know that there are companies, large companies that do this. And
that outfit the people every year.
That is, yeah, they are dispatch.
Right.
So the quartets that are going to the TAM, mm-hmm. they may also have quartets going to an office Christmas party
right.
at some building down the street.
Yes.
So they have, you know, 25 singers that can comprise several quartets and.
Well, wait, 25. They're missing somebody.
Well, they have a sub.
Or they have one too many.
Yeah.
One person who just sits on a bench.
Six quartets and a
alternate,
sub.
One alternate.
I'll tell you this.
They're definitely.
You want to talk subbing? Sure. The greatest job at Disneyland, if you know enough shows in the park, the greatest job at Disneyland is swing. Because your job is to – I was a swing for a little while there because uh-huh. I knew five shows in the park. That was the rule if you knew five shows.
Right.
And I would go and arrive in the morning and I would get breakfast and I would sit in a dressing room. And if someone fell and broke something or got sick or had to leave early for whatever reason, I would jump into
right.
the rest of the day's shows. But there's always someone on staff so that the shows don't go down.
How often were you called upon as a swing performer?
You'd be surprised. Like, there was rarely a day that I did absolutely nothing as a swing performer. Frequently, you would also just go in and swing people out for a show to, like, give someone who'd been working like 5 days in a row. You're like, let's give them a break for a show, or, you know what I mean?
Well, on the days where you would do nothing, what would you do?
Ride rides. I had my cell phone on me.
So you could just go wherever you want. Yeah. Just go ride rides.
I was at Disneyland. I'd just go ride rides all day.
Okay. Sorry. I apologize.
No apologies.
I thought maybe you were just like looking at your phone all day. Of course, you'd ride rides. I apologize.
Yeah. I want to back this up, your story up a little bit.
Back it up.
Because I'm very interested in this van that brought the people there. Was one of them driving it, or was it like a van that pulled up?
Or were there horses?
That I don't know. I don't know if one – I'm assuming – one of them drove it. And I also imagine these people are doing back-to-back gigs like all day.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're at some mall, or they're here, there, some party, and then they come to the TAM.
Bar mitzvah,
and, you know, and they get I'm glad to hear that they get paid well. I would imagine they would.
Yeah.
Because it's a regular thing, and they all seem to be happy to be doing it. And they also make tips.
Yeah.
And they're skilled. It's a skilled –
it's a skilled job.
It's a skilled job.
It is.
And it is not that any skill level version of Christmas caroling.
Here's my one note for these guys.
Okay.
My one note for these groups.
Don't look you right in the eye.
No. Look, that's my fault.
That's fair.
I knew what I was going to do. I could avoid that restaurant.
What is your one thing?
Please get a binder that looks like an old-timey book. Because they all have binders with the songs. Like, what this one group tonight was like, hey, our binder's red. Like, okay, great.
There's one with like 1980s Ferrari Trapper Keepers.
Yeah, exactly.
It can't be that difficult to like just get a fake old book to put your songs in.
All right.
Right? That's fair.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of songs.
Yeah.
Speaking of songs. Yeah. let's take a look at some of these songs. Now, most of these are traditional songs. Like I said, there's not a lot of the kid songs that you think of, Frosty and Rudolph and all those. And though I have caroled with those as a kid. You know, our school, our choir would go around at Christmas time and carol.
People like those. I think those songs suck.
That's fair.
Right? They're for kids.
They're for kids.
They should only be heard by kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how we arrange that.
He runs away with his fingers in his ears whenever they come on.
It's like a frequency thing, like when you try to get kids away from the 7-Eleven by using like a dog whistle.
Yeah. You record them at kid frequency.
So I'd like to divide this up into a couple of different sections, if I may.
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
Watch yourself, counselor.
One of them I'd like to start with traditional songs. So 1833 – a man named William Sandys, S-A-N-D-Y-S. I don't know how you'd pronounce that. He did the first compilation of Christmas carols, English language Christmas carols.
Now that's what I call Christmas Volume 1.
Right. Exactly.
Little did he know.
Exactly. Little did he know. there's so many volumes now. And so he was the first one to compile these. So I'd like to first look at some of the songs that came before.
I'm sorry, compiled them in what way?
He published a book.
Oh, wow.
And actually the book that he published, I went through and it says introduction, and that's on page I, you know, there's always the Roman numeral pages.
Yeah, sure.
And then the first song was on page one. What it does not tell you in the introduction, or in that table of contents, is that the introduction in a 335 page book, the introduction ends on page 146. So that is how long this man's Roman numeraled introduction to this book is.
And it's got three songs in it?
It was exhaustively researched, and
that's a book. That's not an introduction.
Yeah, that's the whole book. And
it's
also
a book, like when they came with a record like you had when you were a kid, had some music in it.
And he also I love that. We used to get those in the newspaper. The record.
You got records in your news? Like
the little
records?
Floppy records. Like, there was a Toucan Sam one, I remember, that came out.
I remember getting
out.
In Mad Magazine.
Yeah. So in 1833, he created this first compilation of these. So I'd like first to look at some of the songs before that, which would be The First Noel, I Saw Three Ships, keep looking for, now I'm trying to do this on the fly looking at these pages.
That's Silent Night.
No, no, no. Silent Night was much later.
Too early?
Okay. He also, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, which.
A banger.
A great song. And then there were some other, older songs.
Deck the Halls? 1862?
Deck the Halls was much later. Yeah.
Wait, what year did you say was this?
1833 was William Sandys.
Silent Night is 1818.
Damn.
Yeah. How you like that? You're hoisted on your own research.
All right. We'll look at Silent Night now as well.
Yeah, we will look at Silent Night now.
Why are you mad at me?
I don't know.
Inexplicably, pointlessly mad. All right, you're right.
I've been holding this in for 199 episodes. All right.
So, is it me? Do I bring this out in people?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, you do.
I'm sorry. So you also have O Christmas Tree, which is a traditional German folk song. Mm-hmm. The reason Silent Night was not included in William Sandys, whatever how you say it.
Sandys.
Sandys.
Sandys. Let's choose the most fun pronunciation.
Yeah, Sandys. Yeah. Because he was collecting English ones and Silent Night was a German song. Yeah, we'll get to Silent Night because I think it is going to be a big contender in this.
Okay.
Would be my guess. Mm-hmm. So you've got all of these traditional songs. Do any of these older ones pop out as real contenders? Now it was the 19th century is when they really started publishing Christmas songs and everybody started writing them.
Like the First Noel. The First Noel, I think, is a good one for everyone being able to sing it, but still has some dynamics to it,
mm-hmm.
but gets repetitive and it can become annoying, I think, because there's more lyrics to it than you think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I immediately think of the part where it says, Noel, 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 Noel. Like it's just too many.
Yeah.
And then there are more verses than you need.
Yeah.
But it repeats itself ridiculously.
Oh, I remember in church, like going to midnight mass where it would be, how many verses of this are we going to sing?
Because
you would look in the book and there was like 10 verses
and they're
all the same.
It goes on forever.
Yeah.
You know that you try to sense in a Catholic mass, you try to sense if they're slowing down at the end of a song and you're like, are they slowing? Nope. Okay. We got one more verse. It's the equivalent of the bracketed passages. You had the bracketed passages in your missalette. And you're like, if he says the word this, then I'm going to be here for much longer.
Yeah. I also think that the First Noel has some, clunky phrasing. They look it up and saw a star.
And it's look it up
and saw a star rising in the east beyond them far.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah. It's a little lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a first draft song.
Sure. Yeah. They're just trying to fit the meter and they're not doing it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some words are stretched out. Other words. Yeah.
You know what? Here's what I think. I think that it was a songwriting partnership. Mm-hmm. The one guy wrote the music. And the other guy wrote the lyrics. And then one day the lyrics guy said, hey, just for fun, why don't I write the music and you write the lyrics? And he's like, yeah, no problem. I could do that.
And that's the one that stuck.
Yeah. Both of their chagrin.
All right. Let's look at some of these other older songs. O Christmas Tree. Probably not going to be the winner. Not the most exciting of songs, though, sung by Charlie Brown's
Vince Guaraldi Trio.
The Vince Guaraldi Trio.
It's a lovely song. It actually has a lot going on, but yeah, it's not super dynamic.
Yeah.
But it really is a lovely melody.
While we were talking old songs, we've also got around the year 1700, attributed to King John IV of Portugal, O Come All Ye Faithful. King John IV, I did not know anything about until researching this. Big music buff, that guy.
Adeste Fidelis.
Adeste Fidelis in Latin.
I feel like this song is a really good song.
Yes.
Both versions, English and Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's the same melody over and over and over again, it's a lot of fun. It's got that – when it gets into the chorus, it's really a lot of fun. And the lyrics, I think, are great. I think they're great to sing.
I love this song. I think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I would get excited in Catholic church when this would be one of the ones.
Yeah, me too.
You would look at the wall and it would have the numbers and then you'd look in the missal and you see which songs were going to be the Christmas songs that year.
That's right.
That was always one on the list.
We had a tradition in my family with my cousins because we would do Thanksgiving together every year. My cousins on my dad's side.
Which – who were where?
In Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So six kids in my family, eight kids in their family. And at the end – like towards the end of the evening, we'd start getting into the Christmas carols. And they would sing Adeste Fidelis and we would sing O Come All Ye Faithful. And we'd switch off verses.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a neat thing.
Because they were pre-Vatican II when the Mass was always in Latin.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. They had – I think they had all taken Latin in school and none of us had taken Latin in school.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So now there are two more songs that were published in that William Sandys book that we haven't talked about. I Saw Three Ships, which is the drinkingest of all of these pre-1833.
Does it come from a drinking song?
Yeah, I saw the song was actually – it was a traditional song and it would – based on where they were, they would change the lyrics around.
Which is Weird Al.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, I saw three ships come sailing in on, if you were on a coastal town, if you were inland, it was, I saw three horses riding in on, you know what I mean? Like,
boo.
They would change.
Terrible.
Yeah. But it was codified in 1833 as I Saw Three Ships.
But it did not start out as a Christmas song.
On Christmas Day. Yeah, it was a Christmas song.
So first it was a Christmas song, then people would change it.
The lyrics that they would change were not about the Christmas part of it.
It was
were about the geographical changes.
Understood.
Yeah.
I still think it sucks.
I couldn't remember which one it was. I was mixing it up with,
We Three Kings?
No, the, unto you, a wassail, the wassail.
Oh,
song.
Yeah. Which we will get to.
Well, we'll get to that.
I'm
you better
waiting.
Shut your mouth.
The final one from, William Sandys, published originally 1833, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
I think that's a good one.
I put that up there with O Come All Ye Faithful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seem like sister songs.
Are they often combined in a medley? Am I thinking of that correctly? Or did Perry Como do that? I feel like there is a version.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did. That's son of a
bastard.
Am I right?
That sounds like a Como operation to me.
What a minx.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a pedigreed song as well. Written by Felix Mendelssohn, the music by Mendelssohn, and the words by Charles Wesley of like Wesleyan, famous
of the Ohio Wesleyans.
Pardon me, all to Christmas.
So
that's a pretty great one.
It's a pretty great one. So of those, it seems like "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" and "O Come All Ye Faithful" are our favorites. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some of the other while we are talking about older songs, let's look down here and talk about Silent Night. That was, as you pointed out, Hal, 1818. The story of Silent Night is a great, like the mythology of that. Mm-hmm. Broken church, tiny town, needs music on Christmas Eve. They get a guitar and write this melody out, and it becomes this instant classic and is spread to churches throughout Europe.
The original lyrics, scrambled eggs.
That's why the priest woke up from a dream.
Scrambled eggs. I love your legs.
I like that the whole church got credit for it, even though it was Paul's song.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Silent Night?
I love Silent Night.
Yeah.
I think it's it is unimpeachable as a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
If you can throw in the German version there too,
Stille Nacht.
Stille Nacht.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
It's everybody can sing it and it's really great. When I was in high school, when I was in a barbershop quartet in high school.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom.
I want you to picture this.
<Too sad man. laughs>
Not only was there, but was I in the
Were you guys
quartet?
Doing cool songs? For the longest time.
No. We were traditional. We were doing the cool songs. We were doing old. We wore the striped vests and everything.
Oh, in the middle of the night.
Or were you one of those dorks singing to Lyda Rose?
That's it. That's me.
Is that what, was it those songs?
It was songs like that. It was like,
what was like the big hit where it was, where for you personally, it was like, oh, I can't wait till we get to this one.
That was the barbershop version of Silent Night. And I was the one in the quartet, by the way, that was always pushing the other three, like, let's sing. Do you guys want to go sing somewhere? Let's sing. Cause oh I love God. Harmonizing so
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That being able to do it with three other people and get like tight harmonies together. Yeah. The version of Silent Night is so good that
do you still remember your part?
I was probably could remember it.
Yeah, that the muscle memory of stuff like that is incredible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, because you get it drilled into you so much yes. from the choir director that yeah. you better know yeah. every bit of that. I yeah, still yeah, remember. Yeah. All of the songs that we yeah. like in looking at this, some of the songs that popped up of the really old ones,
yeah.
like the Boar's Head Carol. I was like, I remember the Boar's Head Carol, but I don't remember the melody to it. All I remember was the boar's head in Hanbury, bedecked with bays and rosemary. But like, that's not the melody. That's just the bass part.
A weird earworm I have in my head from high school is singing in the chorus of I Got the Sun in the Morning and the Moon at Night from Annie Get Your Gun.
Sure.
And it's this tiny part.
Oh God.
Sun, morning, and moon night.
Well, look, if you want to distill it down.
If I had to jump back in, I'd be ready to go.
I remember a Hanukkah song, the one Hanukkah song that was on the program at our school, which was called David Danced. For that one year. And the only part of it I remember is David, dance before the Lord. David, dance with all his might. I do not remember any dancing as part of the Hanukkah story at all.
There's a fantastic performer named Natalie Walker in New York that I just met for the first time recently. But I became acquainted with her through her videos on Twitter, where she posts like, I auditioned for this – part of like the wife of the guy who solves racism, you know, that kind of thing. They're really, really funny. All these movie tropes and everything. And she posted, I think a couple years ago, she posted the the alto part of All I Want for Christmas Is You. The part she remembered from when she sang it in high school. Oh, and it's just so that part. Bad. Then somebody who had seen the video, they got a group of kids together to sing that. Just the alto
just
part.
Just the alto
yeah,
part.
It's tremendous.
Oh.
It's tremendous.
Oh, that's so good.
NWalks on Twitter. Go check out her Twitter feed.
NWalks.
NWalks. NWALKS. You will find it there.
So good.
All right, let's move on a little bit into the mid 19th century now.
Traveling into the future.
Right. We're gonna make our first pit stop.
Indoor is going toilets. To be
at an indoor toilet, and then once everybody's gone,
two less diseases.
A light bulb.
A light bulb.
We're gonna move on.
The
now.
Anti-Semitic car has been invented.
Jesus. We're going to go to a small French town in 1847. Okay. And in this small French town, a secular poet and wine merchant named Capot is approached because of his poetry skills and is asked to write a new Christmas song for the town. While not a religious man, he acquiesces, and this small town outside Avignon, France, becomes the hometown of the Christmas carol O Holy Night. One of the, I mean, if the thing is, it's so hard to sing.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know if it's a great song for caroling because it's so difficult.
Here's the thing.
But it's beautiful.
It's admittedly not a great song for caroling. But it is my favorite Christmas song.
Sure.
I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
The drama, it gets me every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. Every time. I regret to say. I do not believe it is a good caroling song.
Oh, but it's such a great song. But you need
– it is.
You know what you need? You need a Celine Dion or a Miss Piggy or someone singing it.
Yeah, either of those.
Preferably a duet.
Right. Celine Dion and Miss Piggy.
Are they not the same person?
Oh, ever seen them in the same room at the same time?
I don't know that I have. Have we ever seen them together?
Celine Dion is Miss Piggy's Tony Clifton. Miss Piggy dresses as.
Do you remember that time?
As a French Canadian.
Remember that time Miss Piggy had it in her contract that Celine Dion had to be on an episode of The Muppet Show?
This is to make people think that Celine Dion is still alive.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, what a, it pains me to cross off O Holy.
I know. Yeah. It's a beautiful song.
It's so good.
While we are in the, while we're in the 1840s, let's jump 1 year later. It's a good time, 1847 to 49.
It was a great time.
Let's go to 1848.
The roaring 40s, the people of Red Dead Redemption.
Right. Yeah. 1848. The music was written based on Handel's Messiah for a 1719 poem, Joy to the World. Joy to the World was our, in mass, was our closer every Christmas.
Oh, it's a banger.
Yeah. It is.
Joy to the World is great. It's also, it's such a great Christmas song. It's about what Christmas is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it's cutting right to the chase.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. The, you know, the birth of Christ, joy to the world. The Savior has come.
Yeah.
It's great. And then you have the call and response, the heaven and nature sing, all that stuff. It's a great.
Oh, I love that.
It's
and
so
heaven
good.
And nature sing, and heaven and nature.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And you don't great have to have harmony. A great voice to sing it.
No.
People are going to have different parts, but they don't have to be like super great at harmonies. They just have to have like a little sense of timing. It's a great song.
Yeah, that one seems like it gets a bye to the finals.
100%.
Clearly.
100%.
All right. So 1 year later, 1849, written by a Unitarian minister in response to the Mexican-American War. Not once does it mention the birth of Jesus or Bethlehem. It was the first religious Christmas song to not focus on that and just focus on angels and on a quiet, calm. Because it was written in response to the end of the Mexican-American War, and that is, it came upon a midnight clear.
Oh. I've never really paid attention to the words of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
No.
It's basically just angels showing up and glorifying a quiet night.
We already have Silent Night, though.
Right?
How much quieter can it get?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Unitarians.
Yeah.
James K. Polk is very happy that I just crossed that one off.
That song feels
take
like
that
it's for
piece in opposition to Manifest Destiny.
It's definitely a song for Sopranos. It feels like
it came upon a midnight clear.
For woke Tony Soprano,
right?
Yeah,
good mashup.
Got myself the Lord.
This is one that wasn't written in exactly 1850, but was attributed around the time. And this, I think, is a contender for best caroling song is Here We Come A-Wassailing. That song is a joyful mess. It changes time signatures for the chorus. And then it gets to the chorus. It just completely jumps from cut time to straight time.
I think that's why I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that weird jump?
I think it's also it's so focused on actual Christmas caroling that it makes me mad.
That it's so on the nose.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's us. We're here.
I will read you some of the lyrics that you never hear.
What if this was the carol?
Of course.
It's a carol about caroling.
It is the most meta carol.
What?
But I mean, we are not daily beggars that beg from door to door. We are neighbors' children whom you have seen before.
I hate that.
Right?
I hate that so much.
But then as it goes later on, you get, call up the butler of this house, put on his golden ring, let him bring us a glass of beer, and better we shall sing. We've got a little purse of stretching leather skin. We want a little of your money to line it well within. Like
so
it's
a bunch of drunks.
I like this.
They want alcohol. They want money.
Which is what caroling began as in the secular Christmas.
It's extortion.
Yeah, it's extortion.
It's
racketeering.
We won't go until we get some. I don't like this attitude. I don't like it in songs. And if a group of people showed up with that nonsense at my door, this house is protected by Smith & Wesson.
Stand your ground, Paul.
Stand your ground. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I don't like the meta songs. I don't like the meta carols that are about caroling.
What about a couple of years later, the St. Stephen's Day carol, Good King Wenceslas? Comes later in the – it's not exactly a Christmas carol. It's a St. Stephen's Day carol.
Yeah.
Which is one of the 12 days.
That's the one that goes into Gloria – The glory.
No, that is Angels We Have Heard on High.
Damn it.
It could, though.
But it could.
It's yeah, you could easily mash that up.
Good King Winchester's lost the on the voice even when the snow lay round about deep and crisp and even.
Brightly
shone. In Excelsis Deo.
And we're crossing that off. What about Angels We Have Heard on High? While we're talking about it.
What about them?
The glory is fun. It feels more like a church choir song than a caroling song.
It does. Although, I don't know. It's it's a little too churchy.
It's not as fun.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
I think it should be fun to sing rather than feel like,
yeah,
it shouldn't feel too pious.
Do you know what else? I think there's not enough going on for it to be a carol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has the verse and it has the chorus, the Gloria chorus, but it doesn't have enough. I don't know. A lot of these songs that we like have like a lot of peaks and valleys to them,
right?
And a lot of change ups and everything. And
that's the one, fun, yeah.
Yeah,
not as much, not too much like that. Here We Come a Whistling.
Boy, oh boy, it turns into reggae at one point.
How about this one written that same year of 1862? If you want something that is not too churchy and a great caroling song, and this one I think is definitely a contender, it was actually an old Welsh New Year's carol called Nos Galan that spread in the 18th century. But in 1862, it was given English lyrics by Thomas Oliphant and became the song Deck the Halls. That is the fa-la-la-la-la. The fact that 'tis the season is written on everything. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that song is ubiquitous at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
There's a reason that I think it's become so, crazily associated with, like, it's such a Christmas song. It's such a Christmas song. And the phrase Deck the Halls, it doesn't get much more Christmassy than
that. No. It is the Christmassiest of Christmas songs. But rivaled by a song that came 5 years earlier, or was originally published 5 years earlier in 1857, written by James Lord Pierpont in Boston. The song originally titled The One Horse Open Sleigh was originally also considered a Thanksgiving song. Never mentioned Christmas.
Yeah.
But between 1860 and 1880,
Christmas got invented.
Christmas got invented. It became a big time Christmas song. That is, of course, Jingle Bells.
Yeah. Jingle Bells, I think, sucks. I think it's for kids.
Do you think
kids?
It's one of those in
– I think it's for kids.
It's – I mean
– I think it's totally – it's up there with Frosty and Rudolph. It's a song for kids.
Mm-hmm. When it first came out, it was too risque for kids to sing because it was –
Fanny Bryce is in there?
Fanny Bryce is – they got upsot.
Oh, my God. They got upsot in
that
song.
They were upsot when the horse couldn't handle his business.
It's a Thanksgiving song,
but it's gotta be. It was created as a Thanksgiving
exactly.
song.
Exactly.
But it's not
how
a song.
Can we eliminate?
Here's why.
All right.
You don't want to hear people sing Jingle Bells. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, of all the Christmas songs that there are, that people could, a group of people could show up to your door singing Jingle Bells. It's just not, it can't compete.
Yeah.
It's not particularly interesting to listen to. I think vocally it's not interesting to listen to. I think it works better as an instrumental. I think it really thrives as a small quote in other Christmas songs.
Oh, wow.
When you want to like wind down your Christmas song, you're like, let's throw a little Jingle Bells in there. And then people will know it's over.
In any movie or television show where there are carolers, whenever they start singing, Jingle Bells, that's usually when you cut away and you can only hear them in the distance. They're like, Jingle Bell, and then it's another thing.
Very specific.
Scenario. All right.
It's very specific.
But I'm crossing Jingle Bells off.
Oh,
I think.
Thank you.
I will point out also the first Christmas song ever recorded. Will Lyle played it solo on a banjo in 1889 on a wax cylinder for Edison.
Didn't think it could get worse, but
all right, let's jump. Now this, here we go. All right,
take a quick break?
Let's take a quick break. We're into the 1860s.
We doing a QB?
Yeah, QB.
Okay.
Here we go.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, I love.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
True. Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Hey, gang. This is Jesse, and I am joined by Bikram, the managing director of Maximum Fun.
Hi, everyone.
So we have some really amazing news to close out 2018. After this spring's pledge drive, we gave members the chance to buy enamel pins with the full profits of those sales going to the National Immigration Law Center.
This is a tough time to be an immigrant in the United States. As individuals, as a company, and as a community, we wanted to help provide resources for immigrants in the face of these attacks.
We're proud to live in a nation of immigrants, and many of us here at Max Fun are immigrants or the children of immigrants ourselves.
Together, we raised over $100,000.
NILC will put that money to good use, providing legal representation to immigrants and their families who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford it.
We are so proud of our community for making such an immense difference in so many lives.
And whether you bought pins or not, you can help the NILC advocate for immigrants right now. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/NILC. That's MaximumFun.org/NILC.
Our thanks go to all of you who made this possible.
Great work, everybody. And happy holidays from all of us at Max Fun.
We're back.
All right, we're back. These are, there's a couple on here that I want to have side by side, specifically for you guys. But before I get to that, there are two songs that...
A double fake out.
Right, double fake out. There are a couple of songs that are those kids' Christmas songs, but I wanted to give a shout out to, mainly because Benjamin Hanby, the writer of these two Christmas songs, guy's got two Christmas hits. And his house was on the Underground Railroad.
But before
wow.
that.
Which is awesome.
We're going to go check
oh,
in.
Oh, stop. And that is, so mad shout out to Up on the Housetop and Jolly Old St. Nicholas.
Sure.
Right? Up on the Housetop that is part of the Underground Railroad. Those are not going to win, but.
Do you think it's coded? Do you think there's like code in that song?
Ooh,
that's gotta
maybe.
Be.
To people helping the slaves escape. Yeah.
Up on the housetop, reindeer, pause at our house for a couple of nights.
Yeah. Isn't there also a quick, quick, quick?
Click, click, click.
Yeah.
Click, click, click.
Down through the chimney with old Saint Nick.
Well, yeah. Up on the housetop, click, click, click.
Click, click, click.
Yeah.
Down.
That's what is, the sound what of him loading click, his click, gun. Click, click mean?
Well, there's people with guns.
Yeah.
Sure.
You have to be careful.
Yeah. Click, click, click. Guys,
beware.
Come on. Down through the chimney.
It's three clicks. Yeah. Three clicks to my house.
That's yeah. also how they train.
How long is a click?
Oh, you know, it's like as the crow flies.
Let's take a look now at two songs from your great state. We Three Kings of Orient Are, written by an Episcopal bishop in rural Pennsylvania in 1863 and written in Philadelphia. Which makes me think that in 1868, this Episcopal priest who wrote this song actually referred to it as, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
Oh, you little town.
You little steel town.
We love you so much.
Remember when they made steel for Jesus?
Come here, little baby. Get on his girder.
Yo, I'm a wise man from the east. Did you want some rebar?
I thought I'd just give those songs I really only,
oh, yeah.
but they're great songs. I just wanted to hear you guys do Philadelphia accents.
It's never hard to make out.
I did not know that as soon as I saw that A Little Town of Bethlehem was written in Pennsylvania, in Philly specifically, I got so excited
I
about
didn't know
this
either.
Tonight. Yeah.
And you know, there is a Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
There you go. That's the one he's talking about.
Of course.
A Little Town of Bethlehem.
You know it.
The diner's really good was the original lyrics. And then around the same time in 1865 in England, even though it was only popular in the United States, What Child Is This? To the tune of Greensleeves, written by an English insurance office manager who got sick and was bedridden and wrote a bunch of hymns.
It does sound like a fever dream.
Yeah. Like what child is this?
Yeah. I don't like that practice of just weird owling some songs where they would take a melody like, I'll just use that one and stick my own words in there.
What are you? Yeah. What?
Not that's what. That's allowed. What our national anthem was a drinking song.
It's bullshit.
Which actually, have you ever thought about our national anthem sung in swung time? It sounds like a drinking song.
Now I'm on board.
Right?
Yeah, now I'm on board.
I had a feeling. All right, we're coming into the home stretch because that was really the big period of time when most of these songs were written. We have 1904, Carol of the Bells. Probably not a great song for a... wonderful song for a choir.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so fun.
When I was in the church choir, we did it. It gave me chills every time.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It's crazy. It's a weird, dark. I love those dark Christmas songs.
It's based on a Ukrainian folk song. So it is one of those Weird Al things where English Christmas lyrics were added to a spooky Ukrainian song.
At least they hardly wrote any words. You know what? Out of respect, we're going to write 5 words to this song. Some of them are just noises.
Yeah. Ding, dong, ding, dong. And then in 1895, I don't know which American wrote this, but an American wrote it and then attributed it to Martin Luther.
That's nice.
The song Away in a Manger. Look, if you're going to go with a slow one, it's Silent Night.
It's a church. That's a church
exactly,
song.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. It's way more of a church song, I think, Away in a Manger.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of as the standard set for carolers? Like, how many songs? If somebody shows up to your doorstep and they're going to sing, how many songs are they doing?
I mean, 5 at most.
I would say 5 is a lot.
5 is a lot, right?
I was going to say 3. If carolers show up at a door and they're doing door-to-door caroling, I'd say one song, and if a family's super into it, an encore.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right?
That sounds about right.
Boy, I would be a terrible carol. I'd be like, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Get your bathroom, and then we'll be back out here with some stuff for the kids.
Jeez. Enjoy your desserts.
Yeah.
And this, I just wanted to put it on here. I know it – because it always felt like a carol to me. Mm-hmm. I did not realize how recent a song it was. But it's not an old song. It was actually written in protest of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Yes. Is the song Do You Hear What I Hear?
I was going to say when they mentioned the star through the night with a tail as long as a kite, they're talking about a missile.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's also a missile. It's a star,
Jesus
but it could be a missile.
Christ.
Yeah.
I never knew that, and it makes so much sense because now when I think about it, I've never heard a version of it. It sounds very much of its time.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very much of its time.
Like a Ray Conniff kind of.
Yeah. Whatever that most famous
bit
version is. Yeah. For some reason, I always think of Robert Goulet.
It's Bing Crosby has the crazy early, the earliest version is Bing
Crosby. Oh, really? Is it Bing Crosby? Okay. I mean, it's
the night. That one. Yeah, that's Bing.
I like it.
I like it too.
It's a song that I forget about. And then if I hear it in a store or something, I'm like, oh yeah, this one.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with it. It's really, it's got a lot to like about it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it works as a caroling song, but thank you for including it, Mark.
Of course. it was my pleasure. One that, I've been writing on here and skipped past and I did not mean to skip past. Because it is one of my favorites. It is from around 1865. It is a African-American spiritual, and that is Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Yeah.
Go Tell It on the Mountain is a fun, fun caroling song.
Yes.
I hate as a white dude to be like, this song's really fun that slaves wrote.
Right. Great song, guys. Yeah. I'm going to go sing it in my neighborhood.
Go Tell It on the Mountain is a wonderful song. I don't know if we put it in our, we now have 6 songs that are in our set. Would you guys have the same thing? I've got Deck the Halls, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Do we have it Came Upon a Midnight Clear? No.
No.
Not the, oh, no. I gave a preemptive star to Jingle Bells.
Oh.
And then I crossed it out. So
wow.
I've got Deck the Halls, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Joy to the World.
Come All Ye
Faithful and Silent Night.
That's what I have. Yeah.
Yep.
Does that sound like a
Al? Yes.
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 I agree.
Okay. So shall we go around and eliminate them one at a time?
That seems only fair.
That seems like tough. The fair way to do it. It is tough. We've given them all due credit, I think.
We have.
You start first, and then we'll just go in a circle.
Okay. I'm going to say
this is maybe surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Silent Night, I'm going to knock out first.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, Silent Night is a song that I think is it's almost unfair to sing it for people that can't participate in it. It's such a group song.
Yeah.
It's such a song that everyone sings together, and that is its power, that to be the group of carolers, of course, it's fun for you to sing that song, but to have someone have to just stand there and not be able to participate, ostensibly. I mean, look, I don't know what the rules of caroling are.
That's what I was going to ask about.
But it does seem like the idea is we are here for your entertainment. You will give us a little something or whatever.
Like in the old days had carolers who were going begging for food. If the rich merchant just started singing with them, it was like, well, that was fun. Like, slam.
I guess this guy doesn't need us.
Yeah.
he outsmarted us. He's like, I can sing too.
Yeah. If you're a caroler, though...
Wait, you didn't see that coming.
No, give me your money. Man. You start at zero now.
You give me that crust of bread.
Give it to me. Is there like a rule if you're caroling? Can you be like silent? Shut up. Holy, this is a good part.
We got it.
You're not in this. You're not playing this. Yeah.
It's taken care of.
Yeah. Silent Night feels like Silent Night's perfect setting to me is the quiet part of a vigil mass.
Yeah.
Not caroling in the street.
Yeah, because it doesn't have a lot of peaks and valleys, and I think it really is – it's such a communal experience that it doesn't work – to me, it doesn't work as well as some of these others as a sort of audience and performer vibe.
All right, Hal, you want to eliminate one next?
It's hard for me to say, guys.
I am going to eliminate – oh, boy, this is – I'm going to eliminate O Come All Ye Faithful. Okay. Much as I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It just there are other songs here that I think are better suited for for caroling.
We now have three left. It falls to me to eliminate one of them. And of the three, Deck the Halls, Joy to the World, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, there's clearly a bronze medalist in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to eliminate Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And Paul, it falls to you to choose between Joy to the World and Deck the Halls. Do you like your Christmas secular or churchy?
Man. If it comes down to it, for pure dynamics and staying on message, I got to eliminate Deck the Halls and stick with Joy to the World.
All right.
Because it also – everything – it's about Christmas – everyone can sing it. It mm-hmm. does have that call and response part. There's some dynamics to it that you can throw in there if you're so inclined. And Deck the Halls, I feel like it's fun, but it's not – it just doesn't have the same effect as Joy to the World.
Joy to the World feels like the grand finale of Christmas.
Yeah.
It feels like it feels like the moment that Christmas happens.
Yeah. And the lyrics are insane. Like they're so – they're incredibly powerful. Like they're – he rules the world with peace. It's nuts. It's nuts. Like they're not making any bones about it. Like this guy that was born is the son of God. Here's what he's going to do. Yeah.
It is his wrestling entrance music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
There we go.
There it is.
We did it.
Hal, if you will.
People of the world, the Lord has come. Right? Did I get that right? I don't remember the lyrics to any
People
song.
Of the world, the Lord is come. Let all aboard the love train.
That's it. That's the greatest song.
That's it.
This is the best song you'll ever hear. Caroled at you.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie.
We miss you. Hey, you need some more steel products? We got some sheeting for you. Listen,
I have nothing to bring you but a humble Wawa shorty.
I use touchscreen to order it. I didn't have to deal with nobody or anything.
I come from the east to bring you Rita's water ice.
The pretzel's in the shape of an eight.
The worst pretzel shape.
Folks.
Are you kidding me? Oh.
See?
We've
a whole other episode.
We already did this episode.
Pretzel shape.
And this guy.
All right. Finish
immediately.
I can only think
getting
of two.
Into this.
Well, are you talking like rods and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like I guess rod, I can listen everything. To the episode.
Yeah. He, listen to the episode.
Don't bother. He comes out and he's like, it's clearly pretzel shape.
It is.
30
the
seconds.
The best pretzel
in.
Shape is pretzel shape.
And then.
I mean, it's got the name.
It has the name in it.
When you play Pac-Man, they don't show you a little eight.
Then it turned into us fighting one another, just eliminating. Like, we sure. get to the list of like, oh, I'm eliminating pretzel shape.
Yeah.
Jerk.
So Hal eliminated pretzel shape out of spite.
Yeah.
Right.
So I eliminated the eight and Rod won.
And guess what?
Sad. Yeah. It was the worst. It was our yeah. worst episode. Thanks for bringing it up, you clowns. Finish this one.
If you.
Hal, come back. Hal, come back.
Rod is pretty good, actually. I do like the pretzel.
Okay. Yeah, they're dunkable.
It
they're
makes
dunkable.
Sense. Yeah. It makes sense.
It does. See?
Mark, all right.
If somebody knocks on your door and they start caroling and they don't sing Joy to the World, you shut the door in their faces.
Yeah.
And tell, like, be like, you have failed, and then close the door on them.
Do you, should it be door open, boom, they're into it?
Oh, that yes. is a, it's a strong open.
Draw, yeah.
It's a strong.
Now, do you mean just in general, like door open, should they say hello, we're carolers, and then start a thing? Or are you saying,
hey, when the caller
door open caroling. And joy to the world?
I think door open, joy to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be, by the way, if you're going to do this, what are you doing giving any kind of preamble? Like, hi, how are you?
We're carolers.
Hey,
I know.
Is it okay if we sing to you? Of course, the answer is no. So you gotta be going. You gotta be yeah. in the saddle yeah. as soon as that yeah. door opens.
You already have to have merged onto that freeway. You don't yeah. ask. You just wave once you're there.
You have to knock, take a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say actually take a breath, then knock.
I would take a breath. I would do pitch pipe. Everybody, and then immediately, so that when the door opens, yeah. you're joy to the world,
the Lord is come.
What do you think of this program? You start with Joy to the World, yeah. then you go to Deck the Halls, and then you finish with Silent Night. So that's something to think of. Something
I think like your set's only two songs down. Long, max.
And then you take a break, and then you go into
it's all taking
the long program.
Yeah. I think you just do Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time over and over again.
You know, I would like tease the neighbor's house and say, we're going to go over there and sing some song we don't care about over there. And we're going to come back over here, finish it up. You give him a taste.
Don't worry, we'll be back.
We're going to do Grandma's Got Run Over by a Reindeer, which the carolers of the Tam have done.
Really?
Oh.
In full Dickensian garb?
Yes, and they blame it on. This, Mark, exactly.
What?
Exactly. And then they blame it on the person who requested it. It's like, we didn't want to do this, but Ed yeah. said we why? Just so you don't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one wants to hear that song.
There's this Society for Creative Anachronism,
yeah.
and then there's just the Society for Incorrect.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're doing like Nat King Cole stuff.
Yeah.
This is already stretched to the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do Elmo and
Patsy. Now, if they do Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer and they all pulled out their recorders and started playing it, that why I would be
they,
down for.
Why would they lie and say they asked us to do – it's in the binder.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's locked and loaded.
Well, they know it.
Sure, of course.
Yes. We know it.
We wouldn't sing this – we wouldn't know this song except somebody requested
yeah.
it, so now we know it.
It's like, hey, I got a sprig of holly in my hat.
Yeah.
You want me to sing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? I'm trying to do a thing. Yeah.
What do you think this is?
Yeah.
Tell me what I am to you.
Yeah. I'm wearing a lot of layers indoors.
Do you know this? There are three vests under here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you don't have on a waistcoat?
Yeah. Wait for the group that shows up with overalls. I'm sure they'll be happy to honor your request.
Hey, we're Roy Clark's holiday singers.
Oh, don't drag Roy Clark into this.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
I'm sorry.
Paul F. Tompkins, thank you for being here with us.
Guys, thank you for having
this
me.
Was oh, a
congratulations
treat.
On 200 episodes.
Thank you very
that
much.
That is no mean feat. I'm so thrilled that this show has lasted as long as it has, that people are enjoying it. I remember when you were starting the show, when it was just a gleam in your eyeballs. And I'm thrilled to have been a guest on a few occasions now.
Yeah.
Thank you very
yeah.
much for having me.
Thank you. Is there anything that you would like to let our listening audience know about, where they can find you, what to look for?
Well, I'll tell you what. A little thing called Work Juice Improv happens starting in January.
Oh, yeah.
The last Wednesday.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yes,
last
yes,
Wednesday.
Yeah,
last Wednesday of every month. Yeah. Wordsuse Wednesdays. Last Wednesday of every month at Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth. We are thrilled to be getting together on a regular basis to see each other and do some improv for you. So do check that out. You can find out all my live dates, including those on paulfthompkins.com/live. And that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you. And then all we have left to say is thank you, the thank yous. So this topic is closed.
Thank you,
many
the
more,
thank yous. Thank
many,
you,
many more topics to discuss. Reach out to us on Twitter. We got this tweets. Check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can email us at wegotthispodcast@gmail.com or go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/.
Probably
groups.
Like four topics though, right? Four topics?
Four topics?
Left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
We're almost done.
Yeah, we're almost done with topics.
Thank you, Cuckoo.
Thank you, Cuckoo.
Thank you, Cuckoo.
Oh, I, yeah.
Gotta let it play.
You gotta let it go.
So majestic.
Yeah.
A little bow. That's a lot of clock for that bird.
He bows. She, he, I'm embarrassed now.
We don't know.
Oh.
We don't even know that bird's name.
You don't even know its name. You don't know if it's a boy or a girl. It happens sometimes.
All it says is cuckoo.
Hey, I never caught your name.
Oh, and it just ducks back right in.
Gone.
Oh, wow.
That can't be a coincidence.
No. I've made a huge mistake in your home, and I apologize for that. That was – you're going to have to deal with that, not me. I'm about to leave. But, jeez.
Yeah.
Thank you. We really appreciate you coming on the show, by the way.
It's my really, – guys, it's my
I know we thanked you already, but it's so nice.
Are we still rolling?
Yes, it's still going. It hasn't stopped.
Wait, I have something for you guys.
What?
Yeah, shut the f*** up.
Where is he going? He's going into another room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul of Tompkins is
we got on the move. Logo or work juice improv?
We
logo.
Did.
Oh, we did?
Oh, this is exciting.
Here you get. You each get a sticker, a magnet, and a pin.
Oh, this is so cool. Oh, this is great.
Work juice Ingprod.
It turned out really good, right?
Ingprod.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. That's very good.
Absolutely.
Jeez. Oh, it was facebook.com/groups/ we got this podcast. Thank you to producer Ken Bloom, researcher Kate McManus, graphic designer Eric Kelman, and QA engineer Jen Alba.
And thank you to our musicians Jonathan Dinerstein and Mike Furman for our score and theme song, respectively. And thank you to you, our listeners, for letting us knock on your door, take a big deep breath in. create a show that's hers and hers and his. Three's Company at Paul's house.
We wouldn't be doing 200 episodes if it wasn't for people listening to it.
Amen.
For
that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
If nobody downloaded it, we'd be done.
Thank you for listening for 200 episodes.
This would be cooked.
For Hal Loveland, I'm Mark Agliardi.
For Mark Agliardi, I'm Hal Loveland. Don't worry, everybody.
We got this.
We got this.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.